produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good afternoon, good day, good morning, saints, wherever you are, whatever time you find to engage with the Word of God, may the God of peace shower you with His presence. I dispatch the holy angels wherever you are right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree that you will never fail to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the voices and all the messages that will come through to your ears today. I declare and I decree only the truth of God shall prevail in your life in the name of Jesus. Be reminded of the song, Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. You know why? It's when you have reached a stage of understanding that is good, understanding that is great, understanding that He is gracious. You know, you do find yourself trapped, asking yourself, you know, I think some of you might say, I'm carrying the weight, a heavy load on my shoulders. I don't know how to deal with this matter. Let me tell you, it is a riddle that can only be fixed by your Creator. I mean, if He says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, when you are saying to me you are only a child, yeah, but now I'm saying you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. So God knows when He sends you to specific environments, He has already, you know, endowed you with so much wealth that you are able to speak and release the Rema word. Praise you, Jesus. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. So if you really choose not to be threatened, you know, threatened by what happens if you don't share this word. Because when you don't share this word, it means all that which I've designed you for will collapse, because I am the potent, you are the clay. So I had initially planned, now you will be able to deal with that situation. Why wanna situation ngwana morena tseding ke di situations a re wa tseba ngwana Yesu ha chincha ke tsebuetsa langa yena o ghetile bophelo bo bong fela ke tsebuetsa langa ke situation engwe ka bare bereness ingata bophelo mbaka jole ka Isaiah 54 icho ingata bophelo mbaka ha hona nthoetsa halang ne ke nane hore kana ko ke tlabe se ke dutse se ke na le motso wa ka se ke na le bana ba ka empa ha ke na le molekano wa ka empa ha hona ntho e lokang situation dingata mona hore I once got disappointed by person A in my life, and I thought, ha ke gawana le yena, you know, ke kena mo relationshiping ena, no ho tlo ba right empa ho be right didingata. I once ke sebedisana le bomang projecting a itseng, eh, ka investor di tshelete tsa ka kana no ho tla ba right azang bona ke morwalo o ile re modimo wa tseba re wena o tla gona ho jara. That's why re se fapano sene ke tla se jara o njarisa o le ka pelaka o njarisa ho timele bonna ho tswale bo wena le o siteng ha ka o ntshwarele. Hallelujah, praise Jesus, because o siteng ha rona ke a re bua dintho tse re sa di tsebeng. Go modimo ema pele jwalo ka Jeremiah a tshwele. Jeremiah re le ena o ile a tshwareya emane wena tate modimo, you deceived me And in terms of what I was deceived, go chapter 20. You overpowered me and prevailed. Maybe what you are, when the way no work a thing, for I, the Lord, am with you. Hey, I will save you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am your redeemer. What you are, you deceived me. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Everybody wants to say, but when I was out like this, I was like, yeah, I'm with you and I will rescue you. Go chapter 1, verse 8. Ore, I will rescue you. And then, Mudimu, will I add something out of that? Ore, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. You know, the Lord reached out to his hand and touched his mouth. And the word put words in his mouth. So it means Mudimo how beats only empty. Mudimo outlatsa, praise you, Jesus. And I want you to release. That is why in Tulele Kocherma Lemo Chesa Hobani Musabitu alona korelitswe. Halisa tswe little ulemata, praise you, Jesus. So Elijah, Elijah, Jeremiah, praise Jesus, who experienced that impartation by God. Mudimu ore, now I've put my words in your mouth. Wabana, now it's what? It's an assurance. I've done that. You know, it's like a contractual agreement. I've done this. I'm not asking you to do anything. I understand that you are a child. Mudimu akacha wena ko wena to that. Can understand also give up. Can understand or batlomplela ka dijaratsa, or batlomplela ka position of familia, batlomplela ntho tsengata. Mare nna ke re ko wena. I had already put my words in your mouth. You need to know how to release the bullets from this rifle. Praise you, Jesus. Because there's something ailing or go on. Utlo release the bullets. Mon nakerimudi release. Ooh, hallelujah. Let's all how little builder, little planter. Mon nakebatlang hor uete joalo. Praise you, Jesus. Or now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you. Imagine. Over nations. I've appointed to over that situation. That situation is like a mubuto. Praise you, Jesus. It's like an army that is rising against you. It's like a kingdom. But I'm sending you. Hey, Lord, thank you, Jesus. If you have been appointed, you know, over nations, you have been appointed over kingdoms, go for that situation. They get out of the nations, the kingdoms. To uproot, you know, look at a plant. When you've got a plant, you cannot just plant. I'm reminded. Yesterday I was revamping or reinventing my garden. So a lot of lessons came out of that activity. So when you uproot, you need to start removing those weeds. I care the weeds it's all right, man. Let me uproot these weeds. And what are you going to do with those weeds? You're going to tear them down, you're going to destroy them, you're going to overthrow them. And after more weeds, you're going to plant, you're going to build. Meaning that ujala ntots a pillar and you know. So in that mudim or go in kurumila unfortunately. Or could deceive, like out deceiver. Or usitheisa ho ya ka nna usithe sa mamela voice ya satan satan tla dilantsa o jwetsa maka hore nna ke o yentseng ko yentseng ke strategy sa hae ko re anqabantsele bana ba ka ne bana ba ka ba turn against nna and purpose ya bona ska ba fulfilled ba sokolo lo feta. Or the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree. I replied, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Our case closed. Case closed. You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord will Philippians 1:6, he who begins a good thing shall surely finish it. Ha'ari, this is what you are, and this is what you are going to achieve, and this is what you are going to do. And I've put words in my mouth, and I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I don't know what to say. I'm so encouraged. So, kibatlobotsa potso ene le mang ona tshantsa fete mo modimo o etsa gore fete mo gore re tla gona ba di testimonies o tla kopana le batho ba fetile mo fetang teng wena ya areng a ke gone ho ba le molekane modimo tla ho fitisa all fair nations kingdoms tla gona gore o di gothatse o ba blelle gore bona nna ke bone modimo entse le molekane waka ba o ba nyetseng o sentse no tla gona jo tsa basadi ba bang ba nyetseng ka pa bon tate ba bang ba nyetseng gore e lenyalo la mampela mpela ke a bea Jesu pele o bea morena wa rona pele ene bo latela wena o jo tse bon tate re ke number 2 Jesu ke number 1 a ke mo a re tsweng re go chapter 20 verse 11 ere but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. So even if when you hear terror, they are saying so many negative words against you, you know, the scorning, you know, the mockeries, everything, the whisperings of evil, but Mudimo is with you. Kirata Jeremiah Khotat. But the Lord is with me. Kikopa today lwena ore, the Lord is with me. Thank you, Jesus. Ore uyangithanda like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fall and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Just wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. Thank you, Jesus. Modimo a hlonelo fatse a o fe matla a o rose matla Jesus. Stay blessed. Good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time you get to listen to the audio. May the Lord help you to have a spirit of discernment, a revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and the fear of the Lord, so that you don't just read or listen to this audio and disregard His voice. Because as I speak, you need to sift between what Brenda is saying and what the Lord is saying. There is a rhema word that God is going to be saying to you. Hallelujah. We miss these finer details, but to bare kidi nitty gritties. But we miss those finer details when God speaks and we cannot understand. That is why the word says, I speak. God speaks word by word, line by line, you know. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Praise you, Jesus. Why? So that we get to combine these dots, to connect these dots and begin to understand what the Lord is saying to us. But when we are trapped in what we know, this is how I deal with the word. Oh, this is irrelevant. You won't survive. Remember, you know, when I told you that in the past days I was singing a song, this song airing, you know, this is the song that I used to sing, and the Lord was showing me how naive we sometimes are as children of God. I will tap into the newness of things, because that song, as God was showing us, yes, you have been running with this
with this oil. It's stinking now. This oil is not going to help you. I want to grant you new oil, praise you, Jesus, new wine. But I'm looking for people that will be able to stretch themselves. Isaiah 54, because if you're not going to stretch yourself, how am I going to work in you? How am I going to work through you? How am I going to operate through you? How am I going to touch lives through you? So I'm looking for people that will be able to stand, praise you, Jesus, and say, Lord, siyakuzwa, siyakuzwa, I'm going to do this for you, praise you, Jesus. So if we can just forget about what we know, white king, what we used to do, in different forms, in different settings. But God is not interested with what we have done. But God is saying today, I want you to go back to Isaiah 42. And this is what I'm saying to you, my children. Verse 5. I'm going to start from verse 1 and let's run together. Where I skip the important things, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Maybe the Holy Spirit will know about like verse 1, maybe 3, 5, just like that. That's how you understand the presence of the Lord or the voice of God. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Hear the song here. Every time I feel the spirit move, every time I feel the promptings, when I ukai shaba jwalo, every time there is a prompting in the spirit for me to pray, every time there is a prompting in the spirit for me to read the word, the prompting in me to obey the voice of God, to pray for nations, to do A, B, C, D, I will respond. So there is no response to the promptings when you've got no relationship with God. And God is calling unto us, baby steps. 10 days, 40 days. How many days? So I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Like when you respond, the day you say, yes, Lord, I'm available. You know, this song speaks about Psalm 51. David say, create in me a clean heart, you know, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. So, cast not thy presence away from me. Restore the joy of my salvation. Just read Psalm 51. So this is an indication that the Lord is more moved by hearts. You know, service the Lord wants. But God says the sacrifice that I want are from of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what I want. Everybody can serve. Every person can say I've got resources. But Mina, I'm looking for people that will sacrifice their hearts. Who will say, prepare me to be a sanctuary unto you, Lord. Oracle verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break. Wabana. When you are a bruised reed, letlaka. I carry the scripture says, "Na, I will not what? I'm a vine, because John 15. I'm the vine and you are the branches. So the reed that is bruised, Mudimu will not break. And a smoldering wick will not snuff out. Wabana, you are trying to bubble with light. Gangan, gangan. The Lord says, I will not snuff you out. I will do that to the Moabites. To your enemies, everybody, look of chapter 43, last time. And I'll do it to your enemies. I will destroy them. But when you smoldering weak, I will not snuff you out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. What? He will not falter. Asi mudimo baring, I went to pause. So mudimo I ngaro lahlile network. Akiri na lucho juan. Asi rituala jintotsi. Ori, he will not falter. Or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Hallelujah. Till he establishes, get out of that part, justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. So, Bona Island, when I'm doing, I know I've gone through that in the past days. Tears were just rolling down my face. uncontrollably. Kona di ntotse di a re di tlhaloganye. Mare modimo a di itse yena. But modimo re bona ke tla o restore. You know, a ke modimo etsa ndi phoso. Ke tshola ka is not a fallible God. He's infallible. Are till your righteousness is established. This is what I'll do. Not in heaven. Are justice on earth. How about you? He establishes justice where? On earth. Praise to Jesus. Mamela fela. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Tamalin.
Kamuena, Rinserita, Bela Wena. Resapila ha monati ka babalo ya hantati.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Jesus, resapila ha monati ka babalo ya hantati. Ria hubo ka morena rinserita bela wena. Resapila amonati ka babalo ya mtati.
Jesus. Batseba keng, o worshipe go sa dumele. O worshipe go sa dumele. Utla verse 2 ireng. That's why I'm playing this song. Ireng, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. He will only raise his voice unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah. We don't shout out or cry out or raise a voice in the streets. The Lord will also not do that to us. He will not shout us because we are a bruised reed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh.
Butabela. Seudira tanka fela.
Jesus, salaba sataraba shendere de sika. Hey. Jesus. Amen. Hey, yo, guys. Aona ya tshwana le yena, man. Jesus. Katlelwa ke matla, katlelwa ke matla. Ooh, Jesus, katlelwa ke matla. I don't know what to say. Verse 12 of chapter 42, Isaiah. If the Lord will march out, let's start with the 11, 12. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. Ooh, Jesus, katlelwa ke matla. Urico, verse 11. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where the Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Sela sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountain tops, thank you, Jesus. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what why we do that? Go verse 13. The Lord says, the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. My favorite scripture. He will stir up his zeal. Hey, other versions, they say he will stir up his anger. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. So nkulunkulu uthi wena cula 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 re ya uboka morena re ntse re phila. Hallelujah. Ha una ya tswana le wena. Have a war cry because God is about to march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He's going to stir up his zeal. He's doing it right now in Jesus name. With a shout he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. Uri, for a long time I've kept silent. I've been quiet, man, and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. Woo, Jesus. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all the vegetation.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jezile. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play and plays a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the Word of God. And who is the Word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the Word become flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is no more, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, "I am the life." But again, in John, he says, "I am the bread of life." That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." These are two things, taking it back to the Garden of Eden. when the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, "You must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil." So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking and says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, "Give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual test that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. we need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our life, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we got to repent. If it gives us a pat on the back, we got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the way we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and said, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, there's a dimension of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also mix drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat, and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Believers in Christ, this indeed is surely another day that the Most High has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We still believe and know that the Lord is faithful, regardless of how many close people have suffered through our enemy death, even those who were known to be believers amongst us. God is still faithful either way. His faithfulness never depends on our loyalty or us being faithful or ourselves being faithful. He's been faithful even before we were created. He is indeed a humble God, and if we could tap into a fraction of his humility, we're going to see a major change in our lives. So, we continue to obey the Lord and love Him. How do we love the Lord? We hate sin. Oh, yes, we hate sin. We love and fear the Lord. We hate sin. We do what He says we must do. What He tells us to do. We remain obedient unto our Maker, and we don't put the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to waste for what He did for us. No other could have done it for us. So we pray for one another and we encourage each other. I quite honestly feel sorry for those who are not fellowshipping because they have been hypnotized to be told that church is not safe, but it's safe to go to work, but it's safe to buy groceries, it's safe to ride in your vehicle, be it public transport, which in South Africa, I know that there's a lot who use public transport. It's safe to do all that, but then it's not safe to meet with saints. We pray for you. We pray for your deliverance. We pray for your liberation. I feel sorry for you. Why I say so is that there is no time left on this earth. We don't know
when our master shall return for our souls. There is no specific date, no day. But either way, we're supposed to be faithful. But then let me go back to feeling sorry for those who don't fellowship. Why? I remember when we started with our lockdown in South Africa. When was it, 26th or 27th of March, 2020? And we're on level 5, so every activity, except these crucial activities, were put on lockdown. But now, when 3 months passed, not that I felt comfortable. Okay, I'm a person who's an introvert, but then in being an introvert, I felt something missing while I was locked up where I live. And that was quite simple. It was not meeting with saints. The Bible does encourage us to never neglect fellowshipping with fellow saints. So, upon the 3 months, then something happened. We were just influenced by the Holy Spirit, and we started doing some underground church, going through home cells. And this was when the church was not permitted to meet, because the church was so-called not safe. But in all honesty, the township has never observed lockdown. Let's just be real. People in the township, show me any single township that has ever observed lockdown on level 5. There was none in all these 9 provinces of South Africa. So, we met and I felt different. I felt encouraged. I felt strengthened. Because, that's the thing. We're not wired that way. We're not wired to have salvation and be locked up where you are and not meet with fellow saints. That's not how we were created. That's why, even before this pandemic, I really astonished by believers in Christ who claim to be believers in Christ but have no place to fellowship. And please don't tell me that the majority of them have devotions. Because they don't. Now, how do you grow in Christ? Remember the story with the charcoal. When charcoal is on fire with other charcoals, it generates heat and it's hot. But when you take one coal away from these other coals that are on fire, it gets cold and it has no heat as in the way it was with these other coals. Until you place it back where there is the fire with these other coals, it generates heat again. So is the same thing with, I'm guessing, people who isolate themselves, and most definitely those who claim to fellowship or to be believers in Christ but do not fellowship with other saints. Time is not on our side. I don't know if you are aware, believers in Christ. We have no time left. And that's why, just to give you a friendly reminder through word of scripture that we have no time left. The master could return any time. I know theologians and Bible scholars have their own perception on the return of Christ. But here's the thing. Here's something I know. That I know it's not an opinion. Is that God shall return. Christ shall return. For his people. At the time he sees fit. That's why we ought to be ready. Now, let us open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 reads as follows. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delayed, they all began to nod off and they fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and put their lamps in order. But the foolish virgins said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, otherwise there will not be enough for us and for you too. Go instead to their dealers and buy oil for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut and locked. Later, the others also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open for us." But he replied, "I assure you and solemnly say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, be alert. Or be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Does this not sound like believers in our days? We take everything casual. No, sorry, I digress. We take things concerning the kingdom casual. But no, the things of the world we take serious and too hot. We take our medical aid serious. We take our retirement plan seriously. We take our credit score seriously. We take our studies seriously, our careers seriously. But then when it comes to matters of the kingdom, we're so casual. We think that no, God shall come at a time where, where it conveniences us, But not knowing the day nor the hour. Look at some believers who have died from I don't know if it's COVID-19 or whatever it may be, who have died locked up indoors. Taking a decision that is not safe to venture out there and meet with other believers because of this whole pandemic. But indeed, there are some who have died in the confining of their own homes, you know. Those who have died behind closed doors, and they were away from everyone. Most definitely, what's the word called? Observing social distancing and all that. But have died. And then you get believers in Christ who still are alive and as healthy as they could ever be, who have ventured out there to meet with other saints, besides going out there on work to put food on the table, but who have also have taken upon themselves the responsibility to meet with fellow saints. It's a sad thing that some have died observing this whole fear instead of hearing from the Holy Spirit. You don't know the day nor the hour. As a wise man once said, if this whole thing depends on you being careful not to catch you, then we're all in trouble. Indeed, it's God who keeps us. I know we don't use the word, but it's impossible to observe all what the government has stated or, you know, stipulated for us to observe. It's impossible. Telling married couples no kissing. Then our parents not able to interact with their kids. Come on now. How are you going to observe social distancing with your babies? It's God who keeps us. It's God who keeps us. Remember Psalms 91. What does it say? There is a verse that says, 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. So shall there be those who will fall? Yes, indeed. There shall be those who fall. 1,000 shall fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. But the Lord promised us it will never come near us. You don't know the day nor the hour. Take God seriously again, believers in Christ. Take God seriously again. I don't know, Matthew 24 seems to be what we see in our days, you know. Let's continue in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. And it reads as follows. For this is just like a man who was about to take a journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had 2 gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you have entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. excuse me. Also, the one who had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you have entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. And the one who had received one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours, what is your own. But his master answered him, You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, I gather where I did not scatter seed. Then you ought to have put my money with the bankers, and at my return I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given and have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. And throw out the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. So, there's a lot of servants who have dug a hole and buried their health, have buried their presence, have buried their lives because of fear of coronavirus. Just remember what the master will do unto you. You have declared yourself untrustworthy and have declared that you don't trust in the Lord. And that is offensive to the master. He will not feel sorry for you. He will deal with you harshly. Remember, the Bible says, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. Give it to the Lord. You'll get it on the other side of the grave. Just remember, in the name of fear, you are really offending the Alpha and the Omega of life. I choose to be either the servant of 5 talents or 2 talents. Not the one who dug a hole and buried the talent that was entrusted upon him. And I'd rather be the 5 wise virgins who are always ready for the return of the bridegroom or the coming of the bridegroom than to be the 5 foolish virgins who took things casually. I pray this makes sense to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chikotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Anna Mochana from South Africa on Finding My Way Radio Network. And the program is Refreshing Times. And I bless the Lord that we are connected once more to share the word of God together. I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit, renew your mind through his word today. My topic for today, we're talking about how to overcome our daily challenges. So my topic says overcoming daily challenges, and I'm reading the word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We are in the race, and we need to remember whenever we encounter challenges on a daily basis that we are in a race. And the way of God says we must take to run on your race. Yet you have so many things that you are carrying. You won't be able to run as fast as you are supposed to, but instead you will slow down. So because of these things that are happening in our lives, we find ourselves slowing down now and then because of the challenges. But today we are talking about how can we overcome these challenges on a daily basis. We need to remember that God is on our side. We need to remember that in everything that we come across, we are not alone. God is with us. He's taking care of us. He's fighting on our behalf. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says that the Lord is going with us. He is fighting against our enemies, and he gives us victory. And we need to remind ourselves this all the time when we encounter challenges. We encounter challenges on daily basis, but we need to come to a point where we are able to trust God for every challenge that we encounter, and we are able to overcome the challenges. God does not want us to live our lives in fear and not knowing what to do and always feeling down as if the Lord has forsaken us. But he wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to overcome. The word of God says that if we are born of God, we overcome the world. So we need to remember that whenever we encounter daily challenges, that we are born of him. And because we are born of him, we overcome the challenges that come through into our lives on a daily basis. So the word of God says here, let us lay aside every weight that slows us down, and let us run our race with patience. Now, running the race, we need to run the race with patience, not comparing ourselves to other people, not comparing ourselves to their pace, because if we do that, you will then realize that other people, their race might seem as if it's faster than yours, or yours is slower than theirs. So don't run your race focusing on other people, but run your race and focus on your race, and run your race with patience, trusting the Lord in every to take you through every step of the way. So I'm saying today, let us focus on overcoming the daily challenges that we come across in our personal lives. Number one, we need to position ourselves. When we read Exodus 14:14 says, position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord brings us salvation when we are standing still and when we are trusting him with the challenges that we come across. Most of the time when we go through challenges, we want to start first by trying to sort out things on our for ourselves, but we need to come to a point where we be still and know that He is God and allow Him to fight on our behalf and allow Him to intervene in our daily challenges. So we need to position ourselves and remain calm and trust the Lord in the daily challenges that we come across, so that the Lord can bring us victory. And we also need to bear in mind all the time, whenever we are faced with challenges and difficult situations, that the Lord will bring us victory. Yes, victory is for us, but the battle is definitely not ours. The battle is of the Lord, and we need to allow God to fight on our behalf. That's what God wants. Hence, He says in Isaiah 30, verse number 18, He says, "I desire to be gracious upon you." So the Lord all the time, he desires to help us. He desires to rescue us. He desires to intervene in our daily situations and daily challenges that we encounter. We shouldn't come to a point where we tend to think that there are challenges we can hand over to Him, and some of the challenges we can come up with our own solutions. But we need to allow God to intervene in our lives in all challenges, whether they are small or they are big challenges. But let us allow God to intervene. And number two, when we read the word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." And we need to be prayerful on daily basis. We need to trust the prayer like our own breath. You know, we can't make it without prayer. And we need to be we need to come to a point where prayer, it is our lifestyle. It is not something that we struggle to do, meaning that we need to be prayerful whether things are going well in our lives and whether things are not going so well in our lives. But we need to trust in the power of prayer and be prayerful ourselves and depend on prayer, because prayer, it is a method, it's the only method that we can communicate with the Lord with. It's that moment where you are able to tell Him about your worries, to tell Him about your fears, to tell Him about your frustrations. And we need to make that time where we come and we lay everything before Him, so that He can be able to fight on our behalf and to help us in our time of need. So prayer, we cannot do without prayer. We need to be prayerful like Paul and Silas. We remember the word of God in Acts 16:25. The word of God says that when after Paul and Silas were thrown into a cell after being beaten, instead of focusing in the pain, instead of focusing in what was going on at the time, they chose to rather pray and praise the Lord. And we need to do that on our daily basis as we encounter challenges, as we go through the valleys, as we go through difficult times. We need to trust the Lord and forget about the pains and forget about the hurts and forget about the discouragement, the disappointments that are happening around our lives. Let us focus on prayer, even if it is hard at times to pray. Just force yourself to do it. Just force yourself to do it, because you need God's intervention in everything. So let us be like Paul and Silas and learn to depend, fully depend on prayer. As they were praying and as they were praising God, the prison doors open up, and there are things that our prayers, there are things that our praise will bring our prayers and praise will bring us victory as we depend more and more on that. It is a weapon that God has given us. Prayer, it is one of the powerful weapons that God has given to us. Praise is a powerful weapon that the Lord has given unto us, and we need to use this weapons in our daily challenges and trusting God at the same time to help us to conquer all the battles that we come across on our daily battles. So we need to communicate to God everything that is happening in our lives. We need to communicate with Him whenever we're feeling down. We need to communicate with Him. We need to tell Him our worries, our fears. We need to speak to God about everything that is happening in our life, so that God can continue to fight on our behalf, so that God can continue to help us on our journey. And we need to remain focused on him, not on the challenges that we are coming across. There are so many things that are happening. If we will allow the challenges that are happening to move our focus from the Lord, then we're going to be distracted in most of the time. But we need to come to that point where we have learned not to focus on the things that are happening, not to focus on everything that the enemy throws at us, but let us lift up our eyes to the hills. Let us lift up our eyes unto the Lord and focus on him, even if the challenges are forcing or you are going through too much of a pressure, but you need to come to that point where you are focused on God and on him alone. And as we focus on him, I believe that God will keep on renewing our strength and giving us a way forward. And as we focus on him, he will make sure that everything of ours is going as planned. Because when we start to focus on everything that is happening around, and we forget important things like praying, like praising, like fellowshipping, we forget important things that we need to be doing. So it's very important that even when we go through daily challenges, we need to remain focused on God, remain focused on Jesus, remain focused on the relationship that you have with him, remain focused and remind yourself that victory does not come to us. We don't bring ourselves victory, but it is God who brings us victory. And number three, and the word of God in Psalms 34, verse number 4, there David is praying unto the Lord, and he says, I prayed, and he answered, and he delivered me from my fears. And I want to encourage you that as we go through the daily challenges, fear not. Fear not, because the Lord is with you. Sometimes we go through so much pressure and we find ourselves fearful, but I want to encourage you to fear not and remind yourself that the Lord is with you, and the Lord, he will deliver you from whatever challenge that you are going through. Yes, you might be going through financial difficulties, maybe it's family problems, maybe it's marital problems, we can name all the problems, but whatever that you are going through, have no fear. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will make a way for you. So David says here, I prayed, and he answered me, and he delivered me from my fear. So as we pray, the previous point that I've mentioned, as we pray as well, the Lord is able to deliver us from our fear, and he gives us release as we pray and we draw nearer and closer to him. So let us not fear, but let us fix our thoughts on things which are positive. When we read Philippians 4:8, it says to us, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely, and what is admirable. I know that sometimes because of challenges, we find ourselves and not fixing our thoughts on the positives, but we find ourselves fixing our thoughts on the negative stuff, things that are pulling us down. But I want us to pray this and try to do this as we encounter daily challenges, to fix our thoughts on things which are true. The word of God is true. The promises of God are true. So let us fix our thoughts today, even if things are not going our way, but let us encourage ourselves through the word of God and remain focused on the word of God and be very careful of the thoughts that we allow into our mind. Let us make sure that we allow thoughts that will build us up and not destroy us. Let us allow the thoughts that will boost more of our faith rather than boosting the fear. Because the more we are fearful, the more we lose our faith. So we need to be very careful as well on that. That whenever we go through daily challenges, let us not be fearful. Let us rather pray to God to increase our faith rather than the fear. So we need to come to that point where we overcome that as well. And if you can't overcome it, let it be your prayer item that, Lord, help me to overcome my fears. Deliver me from my fears, like David did pray unto the Lord. The Lord always wants us to live in victory, not live a defeated life. So we need to try by all means to do it the way that God, it will please God. So let us not be fearful. Know that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And He is the one who is going with us. He is the one who is fighting against our enemies, and He's the one who's bringing us, who's the one who's bringing us victory. It is the intention of our Lord that to demonstrate His mighty power through us. So the challenges that we go through, they shouldn't make us feel like the Lord has forsaken us, or they shouldn't make us feel like we are not worth it or loved enough. But we should see it as an opportunity for the Lord to demonstrate His mighty power through us and through our challenges. If we don't go through challenges, people will never come to a point where they know the mighty power of God. It is through these tough times, it is through challenges, it is through difficult times where God comes through for us and overcome on our behalf that people see the mighty power of God. So let us allow Him to allow the situations to come through our ways so that He will be able to be glorified at the end. Number four, we need to remind ourselves on our daily challenges. We're speaking about overcoming daily challenges. So number four, let us remind ourselves that Jesus fought on the cross the battle for us, and He won all the battles for us at the cross. And He still continues every day to win the battles on our behalf. We need not to be afraid, because Christ has won all the battles on our behalf. On the cross, he won the battles. He fought the battles on our behalf, and He won them on our behalf. We are victorious today because Christ Jesus, He was nailed on the cross. Christ Jesus, He was crucified. And at that moment, He was winning the battles on our behalf. He fought against our sicknesses. Lord Jesus fought against our infirmities at the cross. He fought against the sin and death on the cross. And He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom. At the cross, Christ Jesus has done it all. And He still continues to fight our daily battles. So let us not be afraid or try to fight our own battles, because Jesus is fighting our battle. He wants to fight those battles on our behalf. The word of God in Colossians 2, verse number 15, says that Jesus defeated the spiritual rulers and powers. With the cross, Jesus won the victory and defeated them. He showed the world that they were powerless. So at the cross, He defeated the spiritual rulers. He defeated the powers of darkness, and He won the victory on our behalf. He defeated all, and He proved to the world that everything else, it is powerless, and He is mighty. So we need to trust in the Lord as we go through these daily challenges and not try to fight on our behalf. Let us be still and know that He is God. Even if the storm can be so powerful, at times we want to do something to help, to remedy our situation, but we need to come to a point where we relax and we just allow Him to fight on our behalf, because I want to remind you that the battles, they are not ours, but the battles are of the Lord. So we don't need to fight in our daily battles, but we need to allow our Lord to fight on our behalf. Change number five, let us change the way we approach our daily challenges, and start approaching our daily challenges in the spirit. Most of the time, whenever we go through challenges, we want to approach people, we want to fight people, we want to pray against the people who are against us. But the word of God, when we read Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, it says to us, verse number 12, that for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we are wasting our time trying to fight against human beings, because our battle, it is not flesh and blood. We need to train ourselves on that. We need to fight our battles in a right way. We need, the word of God says in 11, that we need to put on all of God's armor. so that we'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we find ourselves trying to fight people using the wrong armors. Our armors are not carnal. The word of God says our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons, we use spiritual weapons to fight our daily battles. And we need to be to remind ourselves now and then that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting against evil rulers. We are fighting authorities. We are fighting against the mighty powers in this dark world. And if we can get that, we will realize that if we are fighting against such, then we need God in our battles on daily basis to fight on our behalf. And we need to use the correct weapons for our battles, because now when we fight, we are fighting using carnal weapons, and with the hands, we are losing so many battles in our daily life. But we need to come to that point where we realize that without Him, we can't be victorious. We are victorious because He is with us. He is going before us, and He's the one who's fighting our enemies. He knows how to approach our enemies. He knows how to fight our enemies, and we don't know because we don't understand what we are fighting up against. So the battle is not ours. We need to remember that. The battle is not ours. The battle is of the Lord. What we need to do is to put on God's armor so that we may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. Number six, when you're facing your daily opposition as well, remember that the word of God says we are not using the weapons which are carnal, but we are using the spiritual weapons. So as we fight in our daily battles, we need as well to come to a point where we stand against everything that is opposing the truth of God in our life. What is the truth that I'm speaking about? I'm speaking about the word of God. Everything else that is speaking and it's opposing what God has spoken all over your life, we need to come to that point of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it says we demolish arguments. We need to wake up every morning during the day, just before we sleep, we need to come to that point where we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let everything obey Jesus Christ, and we need to do that on our daily basis, to demolish all the arguments, everything that is opposing the word of God in our lives, everything that is standing against the word of God in our lives. We need to come against that. And that the last one, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, because when we put our trust in the Lord, He will never put us to shame. He will never put us into confusion. So every day we need to trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord on daily basis. We trust on His abilities. We trust that He is able to make way for us. We trust that He will fight all the battles for us. And we just need to trust God completely and doubt Him and have no doubt that God and believe that God in every situation, He'll come through for us and He will fight on our behalf. So let us trust in the Lord and put our trust in Him, and be rest assured that if we put our trust in Him, He will never put us into confusion. Yes, the realities of this life and the facts of this life might make us to be a little bit doubtful, but we need to overcome that and pray about it, that the Lord will help us not to focus too much on the realities or to entertain the realities of life, but let us rather trust and believe in the Lord and His word and His promises, because they are true and they are amen in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We give You the praises and we give You the glory and honor. We pray that You will help us to overcome our daily battles. Father Lord, I pray and I'm confident that You who has begun a good work in us, You will carry us until its completion, Father. We thank You. We give You the praises. Continue to fight on our behalf. I pray for strength for each and every person who's faced with battles in their lives. Father, we pray that You help them, mighty God, and help them to overcome and to win in their daily fights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank You. We give You all glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Until next time, God bless you.